The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 6 of Survivor 50. We are joined by Bryce Isaiah, of course, from Bryce and Wen Present. He's also joined by Wendell, it looks like. What's going on with Wendell here?
Wendeezy, that's my best friend. Where I go, he go. So I got to bring him with me.
He's right there. For anybody who's not watching, Wendell is sitting in 6 different positions right in front of Bryce.
Yeah, no. All right, we start. We're not even a minute in, Phil.
That's a different kind of blood moon.
Oh my god, Blake.
Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. Here we are. We're here to party tonight. I'm in a hotel in Atlanta, so hopefully my Wi-Fi is okay. My lighting is terrible, atrocious. I look so weird right now, but that's okay because Bryce looks good. Blake still hasn't closed his closet door and we're killing it. So we're going to have a good time tonight. This is going to be good. Everybody is ready for I listened to Will's rant last night about the blood moon. And I know that a lot of people are very unhappy about it. Bryce, I want to start with you because Blake already said his piece last night and people want to hear my thoughts, but I want to start with you, Bryce, because we were at Ron Clark last night.
We were.
What did you think the vibe was around the twist as we were watching?
I think in the moment, Jeff's like, it's a big twist. So we're like, oh, but I think as it unfolded, it's like, well, where's the twist? I'm not in a pretzel position yet. Like, twist me up. I think, again, I am so excited and I love, very happy for the season 50, right? I think seeing the cast when it got released a year and a half ago wasn't that excited. I'm like, oh, there could have been some more people that I thought of. But watching the season outside of Zach Brown, been very happy. But Jeff keeps saying it in the hands of the fans. I need Jeff to just say the hands of Jeff, that is the fans, right? Because it's like in Jeff's hands, not the fans. Because it's like, the twist was great per se, but it's like, everyone could have went to tribal. We could have did 3 votes at the same time. We could have had a live tribal. This is kind of like, it's kind of status quo, just with a different tribal. So it wasn't that exciting for me, but to have 3 tribal councils, to have 3 people go, to get down from this large number of 17, I was happy to be like, well, I ain't never see a merge at 17. Okay. Like if
you they still have 17,
right. Because it's not a merge. And Phil, don't even get me started on that. Because I thought in season 50, we was done with the mergatory. Don't call it a merge if I can't vote, Jeff. That's like, let me just calm down. That fires me up. I don't like this mergatory. You made the drop your buffs, pick them back up. Let's swap. No. if you got 17 people, they should be all voting. So that, just getting my gripe out early. But I didn't love that. But it was a great episode.
Yeah. I could not agree more. My favorite thing about the merge happening was we actually had 4 groups last night. How is it a merge when we have more groups last night than we did in the premiere when there were 3 tribes? Because Ozzy and Rizzo are chilling over on Exile Island. There were 4 groups last night. How is that a merge? We went from 3 groups to 4, and you're calling it a merge. And it drives me crazy because I'm watching it last night. And again, I listened to Will's rant and I listened to Blake's rant. And, you know, I could prepare myself because I saw the tribe breakout beforehand. Bloom had posted, like, he did a little snooping. Will had done a little snooping. We kind of figured it out. And I said, this does not look good for Colby and Coach. This does not look good for Genevieve. And this does not look good for Camilla. Now, Camilla almost got out of it. She didn't, but she was close at least. The other two had no shot. And as I was watching it last night, I was saying to myself, is Jeff really happy with this after that? Like, is he seriously smiling ear to ear saying, I'm so happy that this is how we lost Colby. I'm so happy that this is how we lost Genevieve. I don't care about the fact that Colby was probably going to be medevac tomorrow anyway, because his foot was so messed up. That doesn't matter to me. That doesn't absolve this twist. Jeff essentially said, I'm okay with running the risk of 3 people going home because of a rock draw. And not only is it a rock draw, it's run around on the island. And if you go down the right path, you might get to go to Exile Island and you get to pick somebody to go with you. Now we're going to do random draws. And then you have what? They have 3 hours at most to actually communicate with their new tribes. They had no time at all. This does not make good Survivor players. And I was talking about it on the Patreon earlier. What makes me mad about it is, think about the early days. And when I say early days, I'm still talking about you, Bryce, like going all the way up probably until about 32, 33. When you would watch those seasons, you had heroes and you had villains. You had underdogs and you had top dogs. You had people who were working their way through. Could they overcome the odds like Chris Doherty, Danny Boatwright? Were they heroes like Rupert? Were they villains like Fairplay? You had that. Now imagine you're watching a movie and you've been watching this hero and this villain and they're going toe to toe. And then it's the random guy over on the side who shoots the villain and the hero's not even in the room when it happens. And they go, okay, that's not even the end of the movie. That's the midpoint. Now you have to watch the rest of the movie. The villain's not in it and he wasn't killed by the hero. And now the hero has no motivation. We're watching people just try to survive Jeff at this point, not try to survive each other. And that's ruining the game.
Well, that's Netflix. You talk about the Netflix movies that's premiering, okay? With the dubovers, that's a Netflix dubover of what you have just described, Phil.
It makes me so mad. And it really does, because now you come out of last night's episode and like Chrissy survives, right? Camilla goes home. Chrissy's able to convince Jonathan to be on her side. And now Chrissy's convince? Still in the game. Yeah, convince. Yeah, that word.
They cut from the same cloth. So, I mean,
Blake cut into that last night. All right. Blake did that already for us. But, you know, that happens. I don't feel good for Chrissy and Jonathan right now. Like, what did they really have to do to make this happen? I think that's my problem. And, like, I don't feel good that Aubrey just vanquished Genevieve. What did Aubrey do to vanquish Genevieve except have a 4-0 vote? We had two people go home last night, Bryce, where the votes were so unanimous, the second place person in terms of votes had 0.
Okay, so I'm going to have to give you a little pushback, right? Because first of all, not too much on Aubrey. It's like, not what did Aubrey do to vanish Genevieve? And again, I love Genevieve. I love Genevieve first season. And I on my podcast, Survivor News on the Purple Pants podcast, I keep talking about the arc of people, right? Like what I love about this is like we're getting... In the new era, we're getting like the 2.0s of some people. And in other people, we're getting the 3.0 and 5.0, right? And so what I respect about Genevieve is that Genevieve this season definitely was a 2.0 Genevieve. She played a completely different game than what she played before. I almost feel like sometimes when you see something that's so similar to yourself, like you almost like want to reject it. And I feel like Genevieve in the position that Aubrey was, that was the position that Genevieve kind of was in her first season, right? When mm-hmm. So Genevieve kept like this Aubrey. And I loved the fact that what is actually the beef when they first came together and Genevieve was like, hey, I really want to work with you. And Aubrey was like, look, girl, this is my third season. I didn't had people fuck me over once, twice, three times. How is you playing this game? Let mm-hmm. me know and see if we can work together. And from there, they're like, okay, we can't work together. And so uncharacteristic from Genevieve's first season, Genevieve was like, okay, Aubrey, I see you, and I'm gonna let everybody know I'm not working with you. And so I think the Achilles heel of Genevieve was that, like, from a viewer perspective, you just were like, Aubrey, she used her and Aubrey dislike for each other, or like the fact that they couldn't work together, she used that as an end road or the connection with her and other people. She like, hey Phil, you want to work together? I don't mm-hmm. like Blake. Okay, let's mm-hmm. listen. Blake is scary. Okay, I'm like, hey Wendell. Oh yes, Wendell. Blake keep his closet door open, and we know I'm not in nobody's closet. Get rid of Blake. And so I feel like that worked for Genevieve, but now with this merge twice rock, you know, the twice rock merge, the bloody mm-hmm. moon merge twice rock, the same man. Like with that happening, now Genevieve is on a beach where it's like, oh shit, I mm-hmm. just spent this whole time campaigning that it's me or Aubrey, and now Aubrey has the ammunition. Survivor is a game of strategy, it's a game of numbers, and it's also a game of luck that Blake, people don't like to talk about that much. So many people be like, oh, I'm a Survivor legend. Oh my, bitch, it was luck, okay? Luck was on your favor, and now, due to luck, Aubrey is up, and now it's like Genevieve has nowhere to scramble, because what has been your game with connecting yourself with other people other than you telling them you ain't messing with Aubrey? She got an idol. And so I feel like if, and I love Genevieve, and I love the fact that she did something different, but if she maybe little some other inroads, some other places, she would be a better suit. She could have maybe worked with them, Christian, or she could have worked with Christian and Rick, and maybe it would have been Joe.
Mm-hmm. Can I just, Blake, and I promise you're going to get in here, but I have to say this, though. Are you familiar with Star Wars?
You talk about me.
Everybody. Blake, Bryce, you guys know Star Wars?
Yeah, well, Luke, who is your father?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it was who's your daddy, but anyway. So we have Luke and Darth Vader. Pretty big, important climax, right? It's been building for a long time of these two are going to fight at the end of Empire Strikes Back. Now imagine they were like, what if instead of a lightsaber battle, Luke doesn't have a lightsaber and Darth Vader does? And Darth Vader just shows up with a lightsaber and attacks the shit out of Luke. That's what you do when you do these stupid twists. We don't get to watch Aubrey and Genevieve go head to head with their plotting and their scheming and whose is going to come out on top. I'm more satisfied if Aubrey plays the idol to boot Genevieve out of the game at a 17-person tribal council. But to just say, no, we're going to a duel, but you're not allowed to have a gun. Sorry. And actually, all of the people who are going to be on your side that were going to have guns too, they're over on a different beach because we sent them the wrong address. I feel like that is so bad for the show because Aubrey versus Genevieve was the storyline for five episodes. But it wasn't a climax. It wasn't a climax because Genevieve went and it doesn't feel like it was because of Aubrey. It feels more because it was because of the swap and all of the people voted for Genevieve anyway. So it doesn't feel like this was Aubrey's big triumphant moment. And that I think is a flaw in the storytelling. But I think the flaw in the storytelling is because the drama and the stakes have just been removed.
Well, I also, yes, I agree to that. But also I feel like, respectfully, this season isn't from a woman's perspective. So it's like, we don't need all of that. Let's push it out like this. Because in my opinion, this season, they want the men. Mm. It's the men's climax that we are getting to see. So they like, okay, we'll just go ahead. You know what Coach say? He said, Aubrey and Genevieve is doing too much of this. Let's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Blake, where are you standing on this now that me and Bryce have, you know, argued it out?
I just can't get over that we have a merch drop from Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick. If you want to be an official Gross Boy, you can buy t-shirts now that have all kinds of branding on them. Built different. Yes, you can. Hashtag I will not give up. And let's get some of these other ones in here too.
Wait, is there a Gross Boys t-shirt about the pop-up? Or are you just giving Stephanie free advertising?
I'm giving her free advertising because I want one of these to say, oh, that's the same one twice. let me click a different button. This is crazy to me. Like
they don't come in red.
No.
This podcast, we're
this one says play harder, work hard, play harder, hashtag mom mode. If you have $36 and you want to play a joke on one of your friends that watches Survivor, please get them. Raised in Delco. Do you know what Delco is, Bryce?
Yes, I went from Philadelphia. Yes,
oh, yeah,
it's not
you
Philly.
Know
yes, I know Delco.
I went 30 some years of my life without knowing what Delco is to have it written on your shirt for a Survivor thing. I get she can't write like Survivor, Outwit, Outplay, Outlast, but this is a crazy merch drop for everybody in the community.
I'm just hoping that Stephanie will see that you have given the free advertising and make a Gross Boys t-shirt because you've been the biggest Gross Boy and she won the
Unity. She had a great episode.
She did. We're talking about the Blood Moon though, Blake.
We're talking about the Blood Moon. Sorry, I just had distracted by that for the last 12 minutes. I had to spread the good word. It's something where Blood Moon, the day after, I woke up feeling tired. I woke up feeling like all my life I had to fight.
Okay. Silly, you gotta shut up. Silly, you told Aubrey to beat me.
And it's legitimately like, why can't we get good episodes of my favorite show on monumental seasons? What is it about this that's so hard to produce? What is this about this? Like, I get, and when I'm trying to plan a birthday party, maybe the people don't sit in the right room. I thought you guys would be in the kitchen. I put all the chips there, but you guys like the backyard better. But when I'm designing a game show, a reality show, a competition reality show that we have been doing for years, how are we like, let's make sure none of our people talk to each other. Let's make sure all the people that have idols aren't there to use the idols. I think that was a major thing that's still in my head of like, the Billie Eilish boomerang idols were designed to be played as soon as possible. None of them have been played. And you're just like, how, what is going on here? Why are we so bad at this? And it is like, is it a Jeff problem? Is it, oh, we're going to be playing conservative on this season because we just want to get, because another thing that popped into my head, final three right now, none of the people that are going to be doing a final three speech are talking about their games from before the blood moon. Like, all of the winning moves are going to happen at final 10 on. And it is kind of like, I'm not trying to like downplay what we've seen so far, but it is like, none of this shit matters because we're on a 24 person cast and all of this is luck of the draw shit. Like, why would I care about this on a rewatch? Like, you, if you tell your friends it's time to rewatch 50 on our rewatch podcast, it'll be like, start at episode 8.
Well, then you don't have Colby. So what the hell are you talking about? Oh, Colby's gone by then. I'm not starting on episode 8. I got to start episode 1 and then I'll stop by episode
1, 2,
eight,
skip a Colby. Few. Skip
yeah. No, I, Bryce, where even is the bell that you just hit in the middle of that speech? That was so subtle. That was well done. I appreciate that.
I thought that was you. That one,
yeah, no,
that was the blood moon.
I just got to make sure I'm not going to be the one where everybody's like, Phil's making a lot of jokes tonight. I'm Blake and Bryce are doing everything. I'm trying to be very serious, everybody. No, I think also the Billie Eilish boomerang idols are officially a bust. They're a flop because Genevieve found two of them and gave two away. And I think this is actually worst case scenario for production when they start. It's kind of like, I know you watch The Traitors, Bryce. When Mama Kelsey becomes a secret traitor and she's terrible at it. That's what ended up happening here, where these Billie Eilish boomerang idols, they got into two people's hands who didn't get votes. And the person who found two of them, they never thought that somebody was going to find two. They assumed that one person from each beach was going to find it in the original iterations of the tribes. Kahlo was so bored. They weren't doing anything. They didn't even bother to go look for idols. So Genevieve finds two. Now Genevieve's out of the game. So now if you lose Rizzo or Ozzy, that idol just goes away. And that is what it makes this a bust, because let's say Aubrey loses hers. Okay, great. Christian gets it. But what if Christian goes home next week? Now there's just three idols in the game that were handed to people. That's rough.
A part, I'm with you, Phil, right? Because I agree with you. But also a part of the unintentional bust for me is that I voted for less idols and less advantages in this season, because I wanted just to see it back to the basics of a game where it relies on your relationships, relies on strategic, relies on a lot of stuff. So it's like, although it is a bust, I think.
Is there any way you could prove that vote, Bryce? Can we?
Yes,
can we
I screenshotted it. Okay, listen, I can finish my sentence. Okay, I screenshotted it. But also, it was like, you know, some of the things that they say that the fans wanted, that they weren't actually up for votes. So how do we know what's in the hands?
No,
of
the entire season was in our hands, Bryce. What are you talking about? The entire, he keeps saying the entire season. We turned to the entire season over to the fans. What do you mean, Bryce? The entire thing.
There's also hats.
Dude, get out of here.
Now, time out, though. Now, that one Delco hat. That, wait, send me the link, Blake. That one Delco hat. That one to the left. That's kind of fire, okay? Mother's Day is around the corner.
Anyway, yeah, I feel like when Jeff says 63% of people voted for, you know, big advantages. Hey,
we know. We already know, Jeff.
It's just, for me, it's like, okay, I like chocolate cake, right? Okay. Ooh, so somebody were to, yeah, so somebody were to say, Phil.
I didn't know.
Oh my God. I gotta leave the podcast. Oh God. Kyle wasn't in Atlanta last night.
Do you like groceries, Phil?
Get out of here. I like So here's the thing. Okay, I'm not going to say it. I like pierogies, right? Bryce, I like pierogies. Now Bryce is not in. All right, so I like pierogies.
Is that the potato that's like a hot pot?
Yeah, yeah, kind of, yeah. It's like
it
in a tortilla.
Cheese in it?
Yeah, cheese, potato, whatever.
And if you heat it in the microwave and then you eat it and put it in your mouth and it explode in your mouth?
Yeah, those are really hot. You can also put them on a stovetop. You can cook them in the oven, you know, something like that.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. I like pierogies. That doesn't mean that I want a pierogi covered in doo-doo, as Sean Rector would say. Like, I want pierogies that are good. I can like twists and advantages, but I want twists and advantages that are good. I don't want, oh, let's do this random thing that's going to screw over three of our favorites. Because I know that people are kind of focusing in on Colby and Genevieve here, but Camilla got screwed too. And I just feel like, I don't want this. I don't want you to tell me that it's the biggest merge in the history of the show. And then I'm turning around and I'm watching 3 5-person tribal councils because those aren't big merge. Like, that's not big. That's boring. That's stupid. I hate that. So, yeah, it frustrates me.
Would you like a fire token?
No, I would not like a fire token. Okay. I would not like a fire token. No, thank you.
Okay, tell us all the tea about what happened last night. That's what people care about. We didn't get to go to Ron Clark has a podcast and see what was going on.
The event was amazing. I thought so much fun. There were so many people. There was a lot of live commentary that I wasn't around for. I happened to Tyler Perry had pulled me, so I was talking with my man Tyler Perry. Oh, and so Phil seemed to be a lot in the action, but the Ron Clark Academy was so much fun. So many amazing people. A lot of the current guests were there. For me, the fan in me, I'm like, well, where are people sitting?
Yeah,
I like to watch the positions of where people are sitting. And again, which is reminding me of almost like Winners at War, because it was like everybody was in their own space. So that was interesting for me. Any of your takes, Phil?
I mean, I always love Ron's event. Ron's event's great. He pulled out a lot of people from nowhere last night. Parvati, Sean Rector, obviously Cerise there. Rachel Riley was there, which was out of nowhere. Blake would have lost his ever-loving mind over Rachel just because he loves Rachel so much. I mean, he had old schoolers. Like, he got Stephanie LaGrossa to come out. Like, she has not been to these types of events. Aubrey was there. Christian was there. Devins
Rick
was
Devins.
There. Yeah, like, it was a loaded event, and he definitely pulled out more stops. Like, he always does a good job of getting people to come out, but this was, like,
that hotspot.
Okay.
I froze. Am I back now?
You're back
that
now.
That pierogi exploded.
Yeah, I'm telling you. This is what happens. I try to compliment people and StreamYard cuts me out. If I would just insult people and tell everybody they sucked, I'd be good. I don't know what I got up to, but it was I always think that it's a great show. It's so much fun. And people are asking, did he pull out 20 minutes of the president? We just sat there and watched clips of Survivor 50, and he just had Ozzy go up on stage and talk to Rob Sesternino and stuff. I mean, it was good. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the entire event. I thought the 20-minute break in the middle actually was pretty nice because
Ron runs a strict program though. Okay.
He does.
It's no talking.
I got yelled at.
Breathe. So did I. Well, I didn't get yelled at, but I almost got yelled at because Ron be like, shh.
No, I was in the middle of inking a deal with Tyler Perry and Nate Moore, and Ron was screaming at me, specialist, sit down. And I was like, I guess that was that for me, huh? I tried.
I was trying to buy a Delco hat. Ron said, shut it open.
And Bryce, I agree with you. I always find it fascinating who sits next to who. When I was at the 48 premiere, Eva and Joe were sitting next to each other. And then you watch that episode and you see them talking to each other and you're like, okay, this is going to mean something. And so when you're watching last night's episode, which players are sitting with which players are over to the side, which players are doing whatever, I find that to be very fascinating because it can tell the story of what's going to happen on a season and who wasn't there, right? Who from 50 didn't go? Because sometimes that tells a story too.
That tells a lot.
46, I think it was 46, where Venus went to your party and everybody else was at Ron Clark. Is that what happened during 46?
Yes, and Venus was tweeting away. I was like, what is happening? It was like a whole pierogi in your mouth. It was so crazy. Another, like, Wendell and I were huge fans of the show. We podcast it. We go on tour. We're currently on tour, the Bryson Went 50. But Wendell and I, we have like this, and when we text, especially like during preseason, when people like post photos and different stuff, Wendell and I always dissect it and like just our own way of like, wow, look at this person. They're glowing. Or look at Blake. Blake's put out merch now. And so we have our own like private draft of like the headlines and people to see if it even matters. Not 7 times out of 10, it doesn't, but the mother 4 times. Mm-hmm.
The Kelly Wentworth skeleton picture was crazy. You know what I mean? Like after Second Chance, everybody knew that Kelly Wentworth was going very far.
Bryce, I have a quick question for you. If you made top three, final three, we call it in this game. If you made final three and had a chance at winning, would you make a merch line of Delco merchandise?
I have a merch line of Delco, so it's ready.
I'm just thinking, Stephanie, why are you selling merch right now? And it's like, I guess you're not winning $1 million.
This is some of the theories that Wendell and I talk about when we talk, right? Even because I think maybe season 43 or 44, everyone had merch, right? And then as we get to 45, 46, not a lot of people have merch. But even the timing of when people drop merch lines, you know, no shade and respect to this king, my king Jelinski. You know, months before the season premiere, Jelinski was selling shirts, you know. And then there are sometimes where people wait to the merge to sell shirts, and sometimes that's an indicator and I have that pillow. I'm about to run and get it. I have that pillow. I have Q's pillow, and so there, I really do though. Like, I have.
Is it like with Q's face on it, or is it just Q's pillow and he's been looking for it and can't find it?
Give me a second.
Trav Herod, I see this. I sent you a DM on IG, Phil. Yes, I will take a look in a second here. Now that Bryce is gone, I hated the Blood Moon so much. It's unforgivable. It makes me so angry. I know Bryce can probably hear, but I just want Bryce to not be able to defend himself here. I hated the Blood Moon so much. That's not as bad as the Hourglass. Will went a little far there, but dude, this just ended Colby's game for no reason. This ended Camilla's game. Camilla, somebody had tweeted that it's you're now rewarding safe gameplay because Camilla made a move against Jonathan last week.
Ally is crazy. Thank you, Carson, for all of your work.
I don't know where the Q pillow is, but I have it. It exists.
I just imagine when you're talking about the Q pillow, it's like the normal dude pillow that's like yellow. You know what I mean? Like the one that like you never wash. Yeah, that's what I just assume you like stole Q's pillow, and Q's like mad right now.
No, Q had an image of him like, and it's on a pillow. And so every time Q called me, I. But the merch line does matter, and I heard what you said about the Blood Moon. Okay.
Good. Yeah, dude, that's a hell of an idea.
Bryce, what is the number one piece of Survivor contestant merch that you wish existed?
First of all, I have two bins. First of all, I'm a Survivor merch consumer. I love to support the people. But everyone does the same thing. It's always shirts. Like, give me some Survivor socks. You know, where are the socks at? Give me some compression shorts. Okay, like, let's be innovative. I don't know.
Would you buy a Carolyn candle?
If it was 3 wicks.
Wow. You don't buy 1 wick candles?
I mean, I do, but, you know, I feel like with a Carolyn, I need a 3 wick. You know, Carolyn, she's that girl. I just know I have so much more Survivor merch over here.
Okay.
So y'all know I'm not lying, okay?
There you go, Blake. That's Mitch. For you. Can you send that to
Blake? Oh, wow.
Okay. I was waiting for him to make that from. He had a website. What are you talking about? I buy the merch.
Did you have a website, Bryce, back during Cagayan?
Back during when?
Yeah. Okay. Just wondering.
I did.
You've absolutely decimated with the pierogies thing here, Bryce. Now I can't even say chocolate cake anymore because now it's. Come on, Bryce.
You make a mess on your face, Phil.
All right. I got a
more
question.
More Blood Moon talk. You hated it how much?
Trav Herod D brought this up, and he wants.
Oh yeah, that's important.
Sorry, this is the vinyl Katzman. Of Ben Katzman. Yep. Sorry, now I'm going crazy.
All right, so here's the thing from Trav. He wanted me to ask you this specifically, and he gave a super chat, so he gets it. What Jonathan should have done instead? Okay, so this is from last night. We ready? Jonathan should have played a shot in the dark to cause a tie. If he did and it landed, it would have been 2-2 with the Chrissy and Camilla vote. Stephanie was immune and a deadlock tie would result in both Camilla and Chrissy being safe. That would have subsequently forced Tiffany to have to vote Camilla out or go home herself by default. Then could use the defense of self-preservation to ensure he made it through, which would not have as much backlash as he's going to receive for flipping. Now, here's my problem with this from Travis before I even let Bryce answer. We're talking about Jonathan here. And I like Jonathan, but he's a physical player. Like, Terry Dietz is one of my all-time favorites. Mm. Ask Terry Dietz to do this move. Terry Dietz is going to look like you like you have three heads. So, Bryce, what do you think about this?
I don't think it makes sense. I feel like I'm reading the edit. I don't think that there was ever a time that Jonathan was going to vote with Tiffany and Camilla over Stephanie and Chrissy. So I think Jonathan is cut from a similar cloth of Chrissy and Stephanie. And I think Jonathan is going where, and here's the thing. I talk a lot of ish about Jonathan, but I think Jonathan is playing a great season, dare I say. Like, he's saying he's not deviating much from, or he wants to play a different game than he played last time. I'm waiting to see it. But this time and with these people, I think Jonathan is making a lot of moves. I think Jonathan is working with people that align with him. And I think Jonathan made the correct move for Jonathan's game. And again, it's like on Survivor News this week, we talked about in the episode, Sari at some point in time was saying the older survivors are going to have a hard time kind of acclimating to this new Survivor game, where the older survivors are like, we're locked in and we're voting together. In the new era of Survivor, the survivors are like, fuck Blake, but guess what? Blake will vote out Phil. And the next week, it's like, I can either vote out Blake or we can work together. And so it is something that we are seeing in each tribal council, where I feel like Jonathan kind of demonstrated that he's working, he's moving slow, he's thinking slow, and he is moving like an old school player. He's moving with the people that he feels comfortable. Camilla tried to do a new school move last episode. They blindsided him and voted Charlie out.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of more so curious with Camilla. We see when she gets voted out, Camilla's like, bro. And I'm curious, good friends with Camilla, love Camilla. She's a robbed queen. But I'm so curious. My question more so is to Camilla. Did you really think you had Jonathan?
What did he owe her? He didn't owe her anything at that point.
And you just voted Charlie out underneath him. And so we see Dee patching it up with him. We don't even see any conversations with Jonathan and Camilla. And so for me, I feel like the edit is kind of not showing us that maybe Camilla was more so fighting for her life than we actually saw. Because, like, as a viewer, and I try to put myself out there, there's no way I would, like, that wouldn't be my only option. And so with Jonathan playing the shot in the dark, the way that I would almost throw it is, like, to get rid of Jonathan. Like, but there's no other way that she would be able to do that. But, like, I would maybe try to make him feel comfortable or maybe make a move, but it's just not in the interest of Jonathan. I think Jonathan is playing the cloth game, and it's working well for him. Like, I'm not mad.
This line is going to live in Bryce's head for the rest of eternity. This is the new bit.
I want to know what the cloth is made out of. Please let me know.
I think one thing that is not lost, but like Camilla must have really hated Chrissy if she didn't think about voting out Jonathan. Like it must have been like, these are my two least favorite people that I want to vote out both of them. But the fact that Jonathan got nothing of any thought of like, Tiffany and I should vote out Jonathan, or can I get Stephanie to flip? Or no, it is time to patch things up with Chrissy and just get out Jonathan. We are merged. Do you want to play against Jonathan moving forward? It's like, how bad was Chrissy and Camilla's relationship over the past 10 days where it was like, that wasn't even an idea that got brought up or was thought about because they are literally another oil and water woman pair.
But I feel like we have seen Camilla 48. We know she is a dynamic, smart. Like when you think of Kyle's game, that's Camilla's game. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm like, Camilla would have had to know that there is no end role with those two. That's what I'm saying. Like, or we would have saw it. Like, like Stephanie, Chrissy, and Jonathan, we already know they're locked in. We know Chrissy worked with Coach. Coach got her. We know Jonathan loves Coach. We know they're all locked in. So, again, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it was the edit trying to make something that was not there. And I think Camilla was a smart enough player that really was her only route to go.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I feel like because here's the thing, and this is, I think Shannon Gus had said it during an epic X rant last night, which I appreciated a lot because she was on the same page as me. And when people are on the same page as me, I appreciate their rants. When they're not, I hate them. But I loved this rant from Shannon last night. And so she had mentioned, like, and I kind of already said it, but about it's rewarding people to play safer. And I think with Camilla, that's what happened. Camilla made a move against Jonathan to go with Rizzo, to go with D, to go with Ceri, to make an alliance, knowing that there could be a swap. Look, we all know that there could be swaps. But Camilla probably is still in the game if she goes with Jonathan and Charlie and Devins. And what's annoying about that is you are rewarding the simple game. You're rewarding people almost for not being in the middle, because then Camilla goes, now she gets swapped onto a tribe with a guy that she, the day before, blindsided. Now that can happen in any season, but I think it goes back to the fact of it's three tribes going to tribal. So there's nowhere for anybody to hide. And it all comes down to how well can you do chimney sweep? Well, Colby has an infection in the bottom of his foot, so not very good. Camilla weighs about 120 pounds, if that, so not very good. Like, I know that light might be better, but she's also not as muscular as Dee or Savannah or Stephanie. So, like, I don't like how it shook out like that, because I think it does tell you in the pre-merge, like Blake said earlier, pre-merge doesn't matter for what's going to happen in the end. Like, you're not going to get votes because of what happened in the pre-merge. Try to do nothing. Do what Christian was saying at the beginning of the season. Every vote be unanimous, 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 unanimous. Because if it's unanimous, then when you guys swap or when Jeff throws out the stupid blood moon twist, everybody's happy. And that's the difference.
Because what's literally happening is everybody is about to do Australian Survivor is better. And Australian Survivor just had an all-star season that started at 14 people.
Which was
so
terrible.
The first six episodes of this American season would not matter at all. All of you guys made the cast of the 14-person All-Star season that Australia did. I'm in the camp of, why was this 24? Because I think you could go through this and pick four people and be like, maybe I'm not as interested in your story, or we'll get you on the next one, and or we can't do 49 and 50 back-to-back. I would hate to lose out on some of these Rizzo moments, but I think that would have been some conventional wisdom to get it down to 20, because we're used to a 20 season. And now that it's bloated cast, we're looking at each other right now at final 14 and going like, we still have to get rid of 11 of you guys in basically 10 days. And what are we going to do? It's just something where I think contracting a cast, if this had been a 14 person cast and we went the other way of like, this is the legend of legends season, It's 14 episodes, 14 people. It's all the Rushmore people. All the guns are loaded. We're bringing in all the other people as like the Billie Eilish is Christian Hubicki is going to teach you how to play this crazy idol. Like, I think that's something where, why am I redesigning the season right now? It's because I'm not enjoying the season as designed right now. Mm. And I think it is something where when we all saw the words 24, that this is a rehash from last night, like who in their right mind thought this would work? Who in their right mind could think they could produce themselves out of this hole, out of this math that 24 people and 24 people in 26 days, the math just is non-existent. Like algebra two, you didn't even get past them, random British producers that think they're smarter than this. I hope they're British. Because I hope they wouldn't be American and do such things as Blood Moons. Wow. I don't know. Olympics are coming up.
Yeah, Blake's
in full. I can buy tickets right now.
Blake was trying to get tickets. I think he's still trying to get them right now. And so he's in like full patriotism mode. You've never seen Blake love America more. How many times did you watch the speech last night, Blake? You
texted me. You said $2,600 for the opening ceremony to sit in the back. Send me your Venmos.
This is for the Summer Olympics that's coming up in 2 years.
2028. Spend $2,600 now. And 2 years from now, if all of your body parts are still connected, you can go to this. Mm. Fingers crossed.
I like how that's a qualification, according to Blake. Anyway, all right.
I've had deaths in my family. Blake, you never know.
Blake was just talking.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Blake was just talking about the edit and we could cut four of these people out. And I wanted to bring this up because, you know, why not? Right. Like, hey, Camilla's taking the world by storm today with some of the things she has said and some things she has revealed that are over on Reddit that I'll let you all go look out on Reddit or from Camilla's speeches and no comments. But let's talk about these people who Survivor has also deemed really not worth it. Chrissy has 7 confessionals right now through 6 weeks. Now, that wouldn't be so bad on a normal season. Except you start looking and you're like, oh, Ozzy had 19 in the first episode. Wow. And Christian had 10 in episode 2. And even Genevieve had 10 total through the first 2 episodes. And Mike White had 8 total through the first 2 episodes. And Q and Savannah both had 9 in the first episode. And you just keep going. So Chrissy has 7. Tiffany has 8 now because she had 6 last night. She just pulled the purple Kelly Shin there and was like, hey, I don't exist. Now I do. So now there's no purple edit, at least. I guess that's good. And then we have D, who I'm kind of surprised at, only has 11. And Camilla went home with 14. And I was always concerned with them putting the new era people on with the old school people that there was going to be this overshadowing that was just naturally going to happen. And I think their worst fears kind of came true.
But naturally, first of all, what? Give me the Zach Brown numbers because I think he had 13.
I think he had 4. But
here's my issue.
How many times did you watch that segment, Bryce?
Multiply it by how many tuna he caught.
It was the best. I was the one that anchored the tuna. But here's my issue with it all. And Wendell, shout out to my best friend, Wendeezy. Him and I go through this battle all the time where sometimes I get pissed at what we are seeing. We're seeing so many, not complaining, like Love Coach. We're seeing so many Jonathan. We're seeing so many Kobe. And it's like Wendell has this theory that the franchise is protecting their older icons, right? Because it's like, this is like their last hurrah. And like, they're giving less to the newer era because they feel like they are the new life of the franchise. And so like, even with a Charlie and the Rizzo, where it's like Charlie to my, and I love my Charlies. I just got to take a moment. Cause I just the bad blood, the blood moon. I miss my Charlie. I didn't really love the Charlie edit that we got this season. I felt like it was Charlie. We only got to see one dimension of Charlie, and Charlie's a close friend of mine. I know that's not all Charlie got. And so it's like Wendell keeps saying to me that like there's still time with, we could see the story of a Charlie and a Rizzo develop. Like we've seen a Coach and an Ozzy over the years. And so it's like they want to give us our farewell tour of these legends. And I love that. But if that's the case, the name, the season, the farewell of 50 season, right? Mm-hmm. Like I want season 50. Give me what is happening out there. Give, if Coach deserves 30 confessionals, which Coach probably always deserves 30 confessionals, but like there's no way I'm not seeing a Tiffany. There's no way I'm not. We've seen D dominate on season 45. I know a D. I know a Chrissy. Like it's just I don't like the favoritism that they are shoving in our hands. You know what I mean? It's like it's in the hands of the fans, but it's really like put your hand out and we're gonna put in your hands what you want.
Here's the clock.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I don't want more.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's also why when the cast was originally announced, we were really hard on the cast. We were really down on it. I know a lot of us were. This is part of the reason why. Like, if you were going to do, we all knew that this was a farewell. Once you saw Colby, Ceree, Coach pop up, this isn't to re-bring life in a Colby, Ceree, and Coach. Like, this is to say goodbye more likely than not. And I feel like if you were going to go that route, like fully lean into pre 40 people. And that's what most of us wanted. If you want to sprinkle in some new era players, do it. But to go 12-12 was just such a ridiculous thing. And what's happening now is what's crazy. And this just blew my mind. If I would have told you before the season that 6 episodes in, Jonathan and Coach would have the same number of confessionals, you would have told me I was crazy, but they do. But what's happening is if you look at the people who are under edited, because it's not just the new era women, some of the new era men too, like Charlie, very small edit. You're talking Charlie, Camilla, Tiffany, D. These aren't people who got overshadowed on their season, but they're getting overshadowed on this season. And it is because the story that Survivor, that CBS actually wants to tell, is the story about the older school players. So why didn't you just tell that story? That's what most of us wanted anyway, and do a new era All-Stars next year.
Who they want to tell the story to is who I want to know.
Let me also load this gun real quick and see if you want to shoot me or shoot.
Now Blake is loading a gun. You're just asking a simple question, Bryce.
So here we go. What do you want this season to be, CBS? And if we're going, I'm going to go for a bit. Here we go. What do you want the season to be, CBS? You want this to be a family show. And then one of these people, I say porn star every once in a while, and Phil looks at me weird, but I think it's worth mentioning.
Don't mention the
guy who has the porn star layer to him is the one that has 19 confessionals after episode 1. And part of me is like, if we're going family friendly and we have that person be the person who's the most person from episode 1 and still a central character, it's like, are we going more adult with our themes? Are we doing this kind of stuff? I think there's plenty of people that haven't been on reality shows because maybe they have OnlyFans. I work in casting. This is a big problem we have. of a season of Love Island that we wanted to do. We lost half of our people from a pitch because they have OnlyFans stuff and we can't pitch them. And it's something where, what do you want this to be? Do you want this to be a celebration of all 50 seasons? Do you want this to be a gameplay heavy season? Do you want this to be the twist? Like, this is the time where we can really ruin our relationship with the fans and make sure that everyone hates twists so we can go back to doing no twists for 51 and for the future. I did mention it for a second last time, but it is something where I'm like, that blows my mind. We're on YouTube. Yeah. We're on
Wait,
YouTube.
What's the next picture, Bryce?
It's just something where I'm like, I can't trust Jeff Probst anytime he says something to any kind of publication that he's telling the truth, because I know he's not trying to make it a family thing, or Ozzy wouldn't be there. I know not trying to do some stuff because it wouldn't be like, nothing you're saying is consistent. Like, your audience is smarter than that.
The next picture gets our channel taken out. No, and my thing is this. I've always been, I don't care what your personal life is. I really don't. Like, if you're a criminal, like, if you're actually a criminal, you shouldn't play Survivor. But, like, I don't care what your personal life is. I want to watch the people on the show. I don't care what you're doing in your real life. Like, I'm not going to be the person who goes and finds all of your political history, all of your this, all of your that, whatever. But I agree. It's the hypocrisy that gets to me more than anything. And I think that's where it's annoying, because it's like we're being told so many different things over and over and over and over and over again. I like Ozzy, especially this season. I'm loving Ozzy.
Ozzy's cool. I wish we could have more porn stars. Like, yeah, that's where I want the show to go. Well, yeah,
go ahead, Bryce. Defend him.
I just want to say, first of all, sex work is work.
True.
People that make a living on OnlyFans, like, I don't think that we should demonize people that are in that industry. Again, my background is in social work. I work for the people. And so I often feel like sometimes when we make comments like that, it kind of like demonizes different type of people. And also, like, I actually would like to see a criminal on Survivor, right? Because I feel like that perspective is what we need to see, because it's like, we need those type of perspectives. And so, like, what is a family show? And I think the overall arching theme of, like, what I feel like you guys are saying is, like, again, and I've said this, who is the audience?
Yeah.
Who are you gearing the show to? And even back to, we have 24 people, and you're saying, like, there's so many people. When you said that, Blake, in my mind, I was like, well, damn, Blake's right. We have 24 people, and we couldn't even meet the diversity quota that you promised to us. And so, like, let's not even take it there, because we could take it there if you like. And so, again, for me, it's like, it is telling us in this social political climate that we are in, I feel like we understand and we see where they are gearing it. And so, even in my own personal life and watching Survivor, sometimes I'm very critical. I speak out. There is a diversity initiative because I spoke out. But in this season of Survivor 50, I said to myself, I want to enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to enjoy whatever the slop that they give us, because I love this show. And so I have almost taken a bet, like, I put a different lens on, and I'm like, I want to just watch it for Survivor and to see what it is that they are giving us. And so I am very critical, like you feel, like you, Blake, but I also just do want to go on record. I went into it with the same lens that y'all have, like, what the hell is they doing? What is this? What is this? And despite the flaws that we have, I'm not that mad at the season that we have right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that mad. Like, I still am, like, I'm actually surprised at, with all of the things that are happening, even in the season. Like, it's like, it makes me feel like, well, what is going to happen? And now that we have 14 people left in 10 days, like, what the hell is going to happen? They're about to put that pierogi in the microwave, not for 30 seconds, for 2 minutes. And the second we touch that pierogi, chocolate cake all over Phil's face.
All right. I'm gonna I'm Zen. All right, I'm back. Too. I'm hungover, Bryce. Give me a second to breathe. Yeah. No, there is a lot of good stuff. And I think that's the one thing that I will say too. Like, obviously, when Blake and I do this podcast, we bring up stuff with Ozzy. We bring up the stuff. I mean, Kyle, somebody had commented here. Kyle was a criminal. He had that whole conversation about, you know, going through what he went through and how that changed him. If you're a murderer, maybe, like, don't put them on an island, sharpening the machete. That's different. But I feel like the thing that's happening is, I have, like, again, it's zero problem with anybody else, because Ozzy's not the only one on this season who had a little something, something there. I'm just saying. And so my thing is, it doesn't matter what it is. I just hate that it's like the gaslighting is what drives me crazy. And I do feel like there's a lot of gaslighting. Biggest merge ever. And then we end up splitting into three groups. We're going to do the diversity initiative. No, and then I'm going to escalate. We do the diversity initiative. We make the family show. And then there's all these different things that happen that just are not in line with that. And I'm okay. Like if you want to go back and forth, I understand how the press PR game works. Like, I get it. Like, we're in a very political world right now. How many politicians actually say words when they talk? And I feel like that's what's happening with a lot of TV people. They're just blah, blah, like whatever words come out, it doesn't mean anything. And so for me, I'm sitting here and I'm watching this play out, and I just want Jeff to go back to, like, this can be your favorite season. And then we all sit down and it's Redemption Island and we're like, Jeff, what the hell's wrong with you? That's the kind of gaslighting I want. I don't want this stuff of, like, it's getting more personal and it just feels like we're being manipulated as super fans. And Bryce, you said the words, I love this show. We had a comment on Spotify yesterday from Blake and Will doing their rant, and somebody said it's not that serious. For us, though, it kind of is that serious. Like, we love this thing. I talk about Survivor 6-7 times a week, and now I got to do a stupid thing. But, like, I talk about the show all the time. I mean, Bryce, we're at that event last night.
You're planning travel around the show.
Yeah, you see how many people care about that show in that event. Sean Rector comes walking down those stairs. T-Bird comes walking down those stairs. These are people who haven't played since 2001, 2002, and people are going absolutely nuts over it because people love Survivor the way that people love their favorite NFL team, their favorite MLB team, whatever it is. And so for me, it is that serious. And so when I see these things, it bothers me so much because it's like, again, who is the audience for this? Because it doesn't feel like it's us. It doesn't feel like it's the three of us. And the thing is, we come from three different backgrounds, but we're all just diehard Survivor fans, and it doesn't feel like it's us. But then I talk to my parents, it doesn't feel like it's for them either. So I'm like, who is it? And Blake had a comment earlier today. We'll get a negative comment on a video. We'll get 300 good ones. We get a negative one. We call each other about the negative one. I can't believe this. It ruins our day. Jeff gets 300 negative comments. He gets one positive one. He's like, see, everybody loves it. And it's just like a different approach. And that's what I feel like is happening right now.
If I had $65 million because I was the host of Survivor, I wouldn't care about any negative comments either.
And the comment came from Jeff.
Okay. Yeah. It was a burner.
He's reading
know.
His quote.
Unreal. Oh yeah. I just love it. Go ahead, Bryce.
Can we talk about Kobe, right? Because first of all, you know, Saree Fields, I love Saree Fields. That's my mother. She is.
Oh, my God.
In Survivor.
Wait, so now you're the son of Rizzo.
I am. Okay. I'm the Riz godfather.
Riz
and
son.
The Riz son. And
the father, son, and holy, or father, Riz, son, Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Holy
there.
Spirit. And I feel like when I love the moment. Talk about, like, we haven't seen enough of D. We 14 confessions of coach. Coach comes to D and it's like, hey, wink, wink, just so you know. was it Emily? just so you know, you ain't hear this from me. Emily is running your name through the mud last night, and D is like, thank you so much. Well, bitch, why you ain't told me last night? Coach is like, oh, like, and I love the fact that D clocked Coach immediately. Like, Coach is like, honor and integrity, but not with me. And so we see this opportunity of them wanting to get Coach or Kobe out. and like they're somewhat leaning towards coach. And they talk to Sari, my mother, my life. And Sari is like, get the head of yes, get Kobe. Kobe's the one that's gotta go. And I'm thinking, like, Sari, what are you talking about? I'm with Emily Flippin. He won't get medevac next week. That's 2-for-1. I didn't really play the game of Survivor. I felt like I cosplayed as a Survivor player. But the viewer in me is like, why would we not lean for coach? Yes, Kobe has more of a sway. He has more of a relationship. Maybe Kobe's name holds a little more weight with the people, and coach, they look at him crazy. But I just felt like, why are we not getting coach out? And if Kobe is hurt, he's not winning individual immunity challenges. The limp is getting worse and worse and worse by the episode. And why in the world would they show Kobe falling out of that thing like that? When he fell, it's like, oh.
Yeah, that was Bryce getting out of the chair at karaoke. You know, okay, that
was it. Yes. And then in what world does, when somebody gives them a thumbs up, just like, okay, we're good. Because yeah. I swore on Bruce's season, he gave him a thumbs up.
The difference with like, Bruce is Bruce's was like this.
But like, we see what Kobe is doing. And it's like, I just felt like, why would y'all not get coach out? Because it's like,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but Kobe had even said in his exit press today that the medical team, Dr. Joe, came to him and pretty much said, we might need to pull you. Because so Kobe actually got an infection in his foot. That was the problem. And so what he said was that he was probably going to get pulled. And he said to the doctor, I'm going to tribal council. I don't think I'm getting out of it. Can I go to this tribal? And if I survive it, we'll reevaluate tomorrow. But I don't think I'm going to survive it. That's how close Kobe was going. And it seemed like everybody knew that. It just feels like it's been downplayed in the edit a little bit. So I agree with you, Bryce, 100%.
It almost makes it seem as if there was a direction that's like, yes. Mm-hmm. And so, and if my thinking is, then like, I would have loved to see that for Kyle.
Yeah.
You know, and so again, it kind of like, then I ask you again, whose hands is this in? Because it's clearly.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I'm sure Kyle is like, what was that, Colby?
Can you tell me
exactly what happened? Because that's not what was afforded to me back on day blank.
And not to mention, my Achilles of the heel got injured helping you back up. And so it just seems a little weird. And so that's why I was like, Sari, what's happening? Because I just would think that let's get coach out, then we get Kobe out, and then like we're leveling the playing field. And so although I loved the homegoing service that we got of Kobe, because Kobe deserves it. We've seen Kobe a preteen, we've seen Kobe as an adult, and then we get to see him as an elder. And so much respect to Kobe. Like, in my mind, Kobe is the original pierogi papa and little Bryce Washington. So yes, we get to see the arc, but again, like, I just feel like I'm not tuning into this season for the memorializing of our legends. If anything, I want to see a legend get slaughtered. I want to see a legend slaughter a new era. Like, we haven't gotten that.
Because again, last night, Genevieve goes, it was a 4-0 vote. Nothing happens. Like, you don't feel like it was monumental. Colby goes 4-0 vote. Doesn't feel like there's anything monumental. And then Camilla gets slaughtered by Jonathan.
And in this exact vein, I know we had three of them and it felt like all of them were screwed. How do we not diversify the story a little bit and be like, have at least one of those three people go, as soon as I picked that clam full of paint or whatever they did, because we didn't get to see it. As soon as I figured out I was with those five people, I better win this immunity. And then as they fall, confessional again. Well, I'm going home tonight. I better scramble all the time. then they're in charge of their own story. Here's their layer of scrambling. I talk to everyone. I hit wall after wall after wall. I'm going to regret this for the rest of my life. Like, it feels like I did everything. I never had a shot. This is so messed up. Because I feel like all three of those people could have had some layer of that. How did we go, there's a real shot that Genevieve could survive here. There's a real shot that Camilla's not going home. And then whatever Colby was, like, we literally put in, are we going to vote out Coach or not? No, we weren't.
And like, and make, it feels like
make a
it
different
feels
like story.
Yeah, the show didn't want to show the, oh my God, I got so screwed by this swap because, you know, now it's being told in the exit press. And that's not what they wanted to seem. They wanted to seem like there's more skill and stuff that's being involved in what's happening, but there just isn't. Like, at this point, there's nothing Colby could have done to save himself. He lost the game of Tetris Topple and then was punished for continuing to win immunities.
And the thing that I respect the most about Colby is that during that tribal council, you could tell Colby didn't want to go, right?
No.
Because at some point in time when Sabri was like, the fat lady hasn't sung yet, Colby was like, hey, wait a minute. Wait, if my pierogi hasn't been popped yet?
my foot hurts, Sabri. Did you forget?
So, yeah. And we also, with the three people going home, I felt like the only person that we actually got to see scramble was Genevieve and her attempt to work with Christian. And so, again, it just felt very cut or dry. But what I will say, because I am determined to enjoy season 50, what I will say is sometimes, also just a side note to the side note, Phil, when the episode ends, I turn it off. I don't like to see what's coming next on Survivor because I feel like that's a spoiler. Like, that's just my take on it. Like, I don't cut it off. I watch it tomorrow or I watch it next week. What I will say, because we were at Ron Clark Academy last night and so many amazing people, I was sitting next to Sari, me and Sari in Sari bag, taking her candy. Literally, like, she snatched her bag. I said, wait, give me one more. The fallout from these tribals, it has my oven bacon, dare I say, a chocolate cake feel. I am excited to see what is going to happen next week, and it makes me almost feel like the feelings that we have up until this point, I'm almost like this is Survivor AU versus the world. I feel like episode one starts next week, right? Like, I feel like this is a whole new season. Season 50.2.0, episode one next Wednesday, because I want to see where the lines draw. I want to see whose claws are cut from the same cut. Hey, two and two groups of seven.
Yeah. How's that going to make you feel, Bryce, if that ends up happening? Yeah. There goes that. No more claws.
I think the other funniest thing was, instead of doing that, like, oh, I'm completely screwed, it was like the only thing positive that was said in this Blood Moon thing was Colby was like, this is my favorite time I've ever played. Thanks for everything, Jeff. And it's like, how is that the message going out during Blood Moon? Is like our old school guy that everyone fell in love with, 40 million people back in 2001. He thought it was fun. So y'all, the audience should think it's fun because Colby had a fun time.
Well, and like, what people are missing on that, and I think what Jeff is missing, is Colby didn't have fun playing this version of Survivor. Colby had fun with the people he was around and where he's at in his life. This
Colby
was
didn't
about
play
the
Survivor,
experience
yeah.
for Colby.
Yeah.
But this wasn't, this was, he didn't even go to Tribal Council. This wasn't, oh, I had so much fun grabbing rocks from random bags. That's not what this was.
Phil voted as many times as Colby voted yes. on Survivor.
I did. 15. That's true.
He enjoyed that Zoom call. It sound like it. what I will say, though, with the episode being the Blood Moon, I correlated it. I'm a Game of Thrones at heart. Mm-hmm. I correlated this to the Red Wedding. In the Red Wedding, my pearls were clutched. I was pissed. I was upset, right? And that's why, in my opinion, that's why when you say stuff like the Blood Moon, the Red Wedding, the pierogi, right? It's like it has these things to it. And so, like you said, Blake, it's like the Blood Moon is like, thanks again, Jeff. Like, and again, all respect to Colby. I love him, but it's like, I want to see some slashing. I want to see some. That's what I voted for.
Did you see? So John Millsap just said, the only person from the original Vatu Alliance to vote in this season is Stephanie. So Genevieve hasn't voted. Mind. Genevieve
and
hasn't
Colby
voted.
Didn't even vote this season.
You didn't vote. Colby didn't vote. Kyle didn't vote.
Yeah, I, in theory,
imagine hearing that before this season started, of like your expectations would have been on the floor. And you would have been like, well, I'm just glad 50 happened because maybe I'll be on 51. Like that has to be some Survivor fans' mindset of, I'd still love to go on the show and see Fiji and like maybe win $10,000 because there's no way I'm getting past 11th place. But like, how are you excited to see where the show goes for 51? I know we're going to have a lot between now and then, and there could be a final tribal council of all time coming or something. But who knows?
Matthew C says Colby ain't voted since 2010.
Phil, block him. Block him now.
It's crazy. And what's crazy is Colby finished 15th place on this season. 15 out of 24, and he hasn't voted since 2010. Hang on. I got a good one for you, Bryce. I'm going to find this. You'll appreciate this. This is all for you. Do you follow Tyson? You follow Tyson's account on Instagram. Absolutely. The Pod Has Spoken.
Yes.
Yeah. Show us your Tyson merch. Is there anything behind you?
Well, so no.
Of course, all right, while he does that, Tyson.
While we're talking about the tribal, this might be one of my favorite things ever. And where was this? Was this on?
That's amazing.
There you go, Nature Tyson.
Don't play with me. I support.
So, if you haven't seen, and I got to plug my phone in, so this is a little tough. But if you haven't seen, the Pod Has Spoken put out a tweet 6 hours ago, and it is of Coach sitting there, and it says, so to quote an ancient samurai proverb, you know, we make war tonight with a pure and clean heart. And so then the thing that they post is the Google search of we make war tonight with a pure and clean heart. And there's no Google history of that ever being said ever. So there is no ancient proverb. It's just nothing.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
And Tyson being able to get away with that because he is Coach's guy, I love Tyson with another one. Unbelievable. Now Wendell, oh my god.
Now I know we cut from the same cloth, but I don't know. We look that much alike.
Well, you know where I am. All right, anyway, so Bryce, I know you were saying you were getting emotional over Colby. This is what made me think of this. You've now seen Wendell play twice. When we get Grandpa Wendell up there at like 56, 57 years old, how hard are you going to be crying when he's going out with his little hobble because his knees can't handle playing basketball, even against the Riz God or anything like that? How are you going to be feeling watching him go out? Are you going to be as emotional, more emotional, less emotional than Colby?
Well, let's be clear. When Deezy's my bestest friend, and I likes to pull his chain and make a lot of fun of him. But let's also be clear. When Grandpa Wendeezy goes out there, he's the Kobe Bryant of Survivor. He's going to come back. He's going to come back with another ring. So I will be there clapping and cheering because my bestie ain't about to be played with. But he gonna need some Bengay, and he gonna need some compression shorts. So make that Survivor line, because he gonna need some help. But my bestie gonna go out there, and he gonna rock the Survivor.
Have you watched all of his HGTV shows yet?
Have I watched them? I've been behind the scenes. Of course, I support my friend Blake.
Did you not see Bryce cutting that door or something like that?
Yeah, man, you did not see me. Did you not see me on Extreme Home Makeover move that bus?
I worked on Extreme Home Makeover. Of course,
yes. I love the production set. We support Wendy's, and you better get ready for another show coming your way pretty soon. Oops.
Oh, that's a little tease. All right. I like that. What else do we have to cover? Is there anything else from this episode we have to cover? Or now that everybody knows that, you know, Bryce is spilling secrets. Also, Bryce, yeah, what was it? You guys just waiting for me to leave Miami? And then you were like, yeah, let's do an event now. That sounds like a great idea. Let's do it.
Well, first of all, Phil, I'm sad you're leaving Miami. But listen, Bryce and Wynn, we're on tour and we're expanding, okay? I didn't just lay in the bed with Ozzy for no reason. Ozzy is on tour as well. And so Ozzy wanted to get down to the the great state of Florida.
I live there, man.
And I haven't moved yet. For how long?
Yeah, I haven't moved yet.
Good for you guys. I mean, you guys didn't come to LA this round. I was looking for the next Idle Hour thing, but
I don't think they're ever going back to Idle Hour, Blake. I think that's done.
Well, listen, I will go back to Idle Hour if I could have the nightcap that I had that night would fill my ex-boyfriend Bradley, Blake, six random other people that was at that table. Because that was a night, okay? That kind of sort of cemented my love for you, Phil, even though you didn't think I was going to come. If I told you I was going to come through, I'm coming through.
Look, last night I thought you were going to the bar too, and the next thing I know, I don't see you ever again. So I'm just saying, you know, I only went because of you, and I was walking around, and I'm like, I don't see him. And then I had to talk to Wendell, I had to talk to Caleb.
Xander called me, and so sorry, Phil. Xander going to trump you every time, so I apologize.
Me and Xander have this thing where we just talk to each other. We get halfway through a conversation, somebody interrupts him, but this time when I was talking to Xander, he was taken away because he's very attractive and very charming. And I was just standing there
and single.
And he's single. But I got this. Do you have one of these, Bryce?
Is that Savannah?
Believe it or not, yeah. This is about as much of Savannah as I saw this week because she was swarmed the entire time, and I'm bummed about that. But look at this. I tried to give this to Rizzo and Sophie, and they both said, no, I don't want it. I'm just saying that out loud. They didn't want the cookie. Yeah, because just saying.
You should have gave it to the Liz God. The Liz God would have gave it to them. That's your problem.
Yeah,
Phil. Well, you know,
wait, that could fit on Bryce's shelf up in the top.
Blake, I want to.
Somehow it fell apart more from the time I said, "Look, I got this cookie to right now."
Blake, I want to tell him I got the cookies too.
yeah, wait, you what other cookies were there? There was a lot more than just Savannah.
There was Blake. There was Coach. There were a lot of Stephanie and Jonathan's left, but there were a couple of. I'm just joking. It's satire.
Oh my gosh! Speaking of Stephanie, there's still a full amount of these are on sale. It's StephanieLaGrossaKendrick.com.
Get out of here! I'm telling you, Blake. We should have made a shirt beforehand because I actually talked to Stephanie for quite a bit last night. I didn't get to mention that you're a gross boy, but if we would have had a t-shirt that I could have given her that just said gross boys, that would have been amazing. But didn't get to do that. I also
work
have a t-shirt.
Hard, for play harder.
Yeah. Anyway, look, we're going to have fun throughout the entire season, right? I agreed with what Bryce said. Last night was the first time I was mad.
Last night was fun.
I know a lot of people were really mad about Zach Brown.
You like Zach Brown?
I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. I felt like the fishing was stupid. I felt like the reward was fine, but
name three Zach Brown songs.
What was that?
Name
Zach Brown, Chicken Fried.
Chicken Fried. That's it. That's the only one I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But my whole point is I would take Zach Brown over last night's ridiculous twist all the time. Because last night's twist ruins the actual game, whereas Zach Brown being on the show just ruins the show. I need the game. I need to be able to see the strategy and things that are happening. Zach Brown was in 20 minutes. What happened last night could absolutely impact legacies, could ruin Camilla. We might never see again. Imagine that's the last time we see Camilla. That sucks.
We'll see on the traders.
That's true. Yeah, I know. Somebody from this season is going to be on the traders. It's going to happen. So
I also
Jeff's rap or this twist, Jeff's rap. I mean, that's how much I hated this twist. I'll take Jeff's rap. All right. Blake, what
Jeff,
do you got?
Jeff
you go?
Rhymed bluffs with buffs, and people were like, sounds good, bro. Yes. Great job. What do I got? I got a buff. I got the purple buff last night using the discount code from Survivor.
Oh, I
got to
do that. I'm going to buy
20% off.
So thank you for that code. I got the purple buff because I think they're going to be that is my favorite tribe. It sucks that literally half of them are gone now. I'm interested to see if Aubrey becomes less, not sour. I don't know what the right word is. I want Aubrey to start having fun. That's what I'm going to look forward to in a merge episode. I think somebody else that I'd love to see take over the game is like, is D going to be gone soon or is D making a deep run? I think she's the person I'm most interested in. Of if there's 14 guns, do we get out a winner right away? Or is D like, no, D's so fun to be around. Why would we get rid of her? I'm not looking forward to Jeff talking. I'm not looking forward to Jimmy Fallon talking. And I'm not looking forward to Mr. Beast talking. And I do feel like between now and May, we have all of that. So that could be rough.
Word on the curb, though, Blake, is from the reaction that they have gotten from the fans, from Zach Brown, that the editors have gone back to work and reworking some of the episodes. And so I wonder
if... Let me ask you, Bryce.
Yes.
Do you think Tiffany always had six confessionals last night? Or do you think that was changed because of reaction?
I don't know. Because I feel like because of the no twist with twist or the merge, no merge, you know, I think it put Tiffany in a position where if all we are seeing is Camilla betting on Jonathan, we need Tiffany to hear from Tiffany. So I feel like this episode, it did lead to more of Tiffany because like her vote actually matters and the story that we see. So I don't think so.
Okay. The other thing that's kind of cool is Colby got voted out and Colby has hosted reality shows in the past. So maybe Colby can host the finale.
Did you watch The Shotgun with Colby?
Top Shot, I watched every season.
Of him cosplaying Jeff Probst.
Yeah. At least he has a heart of gold, you know? At least there's a Texas part of it, you know?
Blake, I love you.
All right. All right,
Jeff, Bryce, has no heart.
We said an hour. We're at an hour 20. Okay. I'm done, man. I'm sitting in this dark room.
My pierogies are still like okay.
We do not have a microwave, although I'm in a much nicer hotel. I will say this for anybody who is going to Ron Clark in the future, because I talked to so many people last night and it was like, where are you staying? They're like, I'm at this scary ass hotel. It's really gross. It's scary. I did it last year. Don't do it. The Comfort Inn or the Country Inn and Suites, they're really cheap. They're close to Ron Clark. Don't stay at them. Okay. I'm just saying that from experience and from talking to people last night. Those are not hotels that are, you see the price and you say, oh, hell yeah. Then you show up and you say, oh, hell no. Don't stay at those hotels. I'm telling you that now. If you go to Ron Clark, just go a little bit further away, pay a little bit more. You're going to be happy about it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, don't stay at those. I met Clyde from Survivor Analytics last night. He was at the Comfort Inn. Yeah, amazing. I love Clyde. So much fun.
How is Clyde doing?
Dude, honestly, he was positive. I wish I had that man's positivity because he's watching the show with a smile on his face while I'm crying over Colby going. My wife's like rubbing my arm. I'm three whiskeys deep. I'm like sobbing, trying not to make eye contact with anybody. And then I go back to Clyde and he's like, this is pretty fun. I'm like, what are we doing?
Yes, Clyde.
So, all right, Bryce, I know you're on tour. Everything's great. You love everything. Tell me what's going on. Let's get this out of here.
Well, yes. Well, the Bryce Isaiah 2026 Zaddy calendar is available. We just turned to April. We've got the glue guy, Sam, as our Mr. April. So that's still available. Click the link in my bio. And Wendell and I, we're on tour. We are watching every episode in the hands of the fans with you. Next week, we are going to be in San Francisco. Next week, Ozzy is going to be in Las Vegas. Join in on the fun. Click the link at the Bryce and Win Present Instagram. If you're not already following, what are you doing? Phil, this has been amazing. You know, I love you. Blake, it's always so much fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for the honor because there was a time ago where I used to not even get invited. Y'all would invite Wendeezy and I would have to hijack his kitchen and just be like, hi, Phil. So it does not surpass me that you invite me, you support, you show up. I appreciate your friendship and your love so much, Phil. So I just want to say, just thank you so much. I really appreciate it. From a third boot from a decade ago for Phil to know who I am. It warms my heart from Delco Valley.
I was gonna make a joke about the only reason we did this is because Jack said no. But then you were so heartfelt that I actually felt bad. You know, I'm like, I wanted to say, I asked Jack, I've been texting Jack nonstop. He blocked my number, I think.
Wait, Bryce.
So then I said, fine, we got to go to Bryce. But no, Bryce, I mean, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I'm just waiting for my Purple Pants podcast, you know.
Well, and on the phone with Wendell earlier, and he said that Phil, it would be an honor. Truly.
Anytime, as soon as I move. Anytime after I move. I'm like Rob Cesternino right now. It's like anytime. Once my life is calm, like, please let me get, but as soon as I move, I want to be on the Purple Pants podcast or, you know, Survivor News. Something fun.
What was your question, Phil? Blake?
I think Blake. Yeah, I was going to say. See, now it's named Cloth. Exactly. Cloth. I'm telling you, I said Wendell. Now you're,
we don't even look alike, dude.
I have gray in my beard. I'm more attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, you heard that. That was quick.
I'll tell you off the pod, Bryce.
No, sell it to me now. I want to pop the pierogi.
It was just more of Jack Adkins. I worked on his season of Circle 2.
The Circle.
So he's one of my OGs that we found.
Love him. And now he's
You're welcome.
Well, I knew him before that, but now, full circle moment, now Jack is casting for the next season of The Traitors.
And he won't call me either. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Well,
he sent me the video. Phil, keep trying.
Yeah, I was pretty good. I was pretty good. I wore my David Kinney outfit. It just didn't fit me right. It was really awful.
You literally started with, can you pass this to Survivor casting for me?
Yeah, that was my opening line. It's like, I really don't want to do The Traitors, but I can't get Jesse to answer anything. All right. Anyway, we're out of here. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, go support Bryce and Wen in all of their endeavors. Go to a live event. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it, especially with who turns out. Even if you just go to a karaoke, you're going to hear somebody do every voice from Mulan. The guy did every voice during Defeat the Huns, whatever the hell the song is. Every voice. Anyway, that's it. We're out of here, Bryce. Always a pleasure, everybody. Patreon.com/thespecialist. And we'll see you on Sunday. Blake and I are live Sunday morning, 10 a.m. because it's Easter.
That's this Sunday?
We don't have a guest. It's just Blake and myself ruining your Easter with us doing prediction power rankings because that's just easier. All right,
I'll be using these note cards to write them down.
Will the closet door be closed?